being joined together and being knit together, for every joint of the rich supply. Lord, speak this morning into our hearts, that we may hear your voice. We have decided for you, Lord. We want to clearly follow you and reach the goal. Strengthen our faith through this word. Open up again our inner eyes. We want to see and have the vision before our eyes. We bind the devil, all the thoughts distracting us. Strengthen our view to you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do thank you for this meeting. We do thank you for your speaking so far, that you want to also speak to us this morning. Anoint all the sharing, all the testimonies. Anoint all of us through your wonderful Spirit. Wonderful. We can have the time to come together freely, to look to the Lord and experience more of Him. For all of us, it's a special, precious time. It is kind of, in a certain sense, the older you get, the more exhausting it could be, but praise the Lord. Everything is about God's masterpiece. That we behold the vision and have the way before us how to bring it into reality. Lord Jesus, it is so wonderful that this is not happening without us, right? If there is a famous artist painting a picture, well, the colors and the room will have to do what he wants. But God's masterpiece always needs our consent, our cooperation, right? But God still has everything of this in his plan, right? This is beyond our imagination, is it? It's his masterpiece, even if we make mistakes. God even uses our mistakes. How many times have we experienced this? And then you only have praise and thanks in the end for your God. In the meeting yesterday, we had the word on being prepared. Our cooperation needs preparation. If you work in a job, you need a certain education for that profession, right? So for the work of the Lord, we also need preparation. It is not a kind of craft where you can learn how to bake bread. No, here, this is your whole being. It's not only a few skills, craft skills, you'll learn basic mathematic principles. No. Here, you yourself are concerned that God is formed in you. The Lord gains room in you. For this, you need deliverance, release from yourself, as we heard these meetings. We were in captivity, but the Lord has set us free completely. But not that we would fly in the sky somewhere, but that we are here to prepare his work. All this happens by the resurrected and ascended Christ. He has everything in his hands. That is something we always have to see again and again. Even if things happen in the church life, not according to your concept, right? You can be sure and confident the Lord still has everything in his hands. And this wonderful Lord, who is above all, we want to trust to the uttermost. Amen. Today we would like to take a more close look at two verses. take a closer look to two special verses. There's so much in it that I thought you could have a little meeting over every single word of these verses, but we have to limit ourselves. The Lord is rich, marvelously rich.
Amen.
But holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ, Ephesians 4:15.
Hier heißt es, die Wahrheit festhalten.
Holding to truth in love.
Das ist ein gewisser Kompromiss bei der
Übersetzung. This is a kind of compromise when translating this verse, because there is a verb you do not have in the German language. It is simply to truth. Some say to speak the truth or to live the truth, because we only have truth as a noun, not as a verb. So it means we have a part in this great work of God. It is very special that the center is the truth. This is crucial that you know the church, truth, that you know the truth, that you deal with it a lot. This is fundamental to know the truth. Someone asked a question one time, what is truth, you know? It's a wrong question. It's a question should rather be, who is the truth? Wolfgang knows. Many of you know that, and know that verse, and knows who this person was. Who asked this question? Jesus Christ is the answer to this question. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is Jesus Himself. There were always Christians that tried to form creeds. This is the fundamental principles now. This is what we believe, so forth. Well, but you will always restrict and limit what you believe. It is only half true what you are wording here. The truth is simply a person, Jesus Himself. If you want to know the truth, you have to come to Jesus. Only He is the truth, His person. Then this is wonderful here. He is the way. Many times we do not have a way. What do I do now? Maybe I ask this brother or this sister how to do a certain thing, or I look it up in the internet. But the way is the Lord Jesus Himself. He is my way. Many times I want to help myself. He is the truth. Not that I would formulate sentences. All this leads to life. If I want to use other things, this will not lead to life. If I take the Lord as my way, the Lord as a truth, then I will be led to life. That's what we need. And one more crucial thing. Truth is nothing subjective. The truth is absolute. You cannot say, this is my truth, this is your truth, and this is His truth. No, the truth is the Lord. And the Word says, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't diminish the truth. Don't belittle the truth. It is Him, objectively and absolutely. Amen. Now, where do we practically find the truth? The Lord gave us a practical way for that. You can compare with a bride, having a bridegroom who is far away on a different continent. You cannot visit him, he cannot visit her. What can you do? You can write letters, right? And if a letter comes, you will right away open it up and say, oh, what did my bridegroom write to me? Well, here is such a letter. It's not a long, not a short letter, not 2 pages alone, it's many pages. It is a love letter of our bridegroom. He gave us. If you want to come to him, you need this word, this love letter. That is where you find the truth. He wants to teach us so many things, relate so many things to us, in order for you to correspond to him. That's why we come to this word. And wonderful is, when you read this, you will have the Spirit in you testifying that this is the truth. My brother said once, when he was having fellowship with the saints from the church, he hadn't been in the church yet, he had the clear sensation what these people say, that is truth. And we also have a testimony in us that this is the truth. So the word written here, we have this and the Spirit in us, testifying for the truth. I would like to give you a taste to enter more into this word, because there is so many treasures included in it. Many things we already know, but knowledge can be a danger that you start not appreciating it anymore and say, oh, tick it off, I know it already, check, are you already born again, check. Well, the trace of the regeneration of man, is it so real in your heart? Some people say, I do have my faith, but they have never heard anything of regeneration, being born again. No concept of this. We have to appreciate these truths. So many precious stones. We do not want to know it, but to love it and to deal with it. And to recall it. Remember it. Redemption by his blood. Eating and drinking of the word. And God the Father will transform us into the image of His Son. Isn't this precious? A precious truth? It has to be so vivid to us. We have to discover it again and again. Colossians 3:16, there is a good description. Colossians 3:16. Do the saints from Poland like to read this to us? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Niech słowo Chrystusowe mieszka w nas obficie. Amen.
Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Wonderful, right? It shall dwell in it. How does this happen? We teach one another in wisdom. Sometimes, maybe you know it already, but if another brother says it again, explaining this truth in wisdom, this will become new to you. Admonishing, teaching one another. And how? In Psalms. Psalms is on the one hand songs, but on the other hand prayers, right? So, in hymns, in spiritual songs, if you sing a song to the Lord, then this truth will dwell in you. In the Old Testament, there is a verse. It says, and those Levites, they prophesied on their instruments. We would rather say they played their instruments. But literally it says in Hebrew, they prophesied on their instruments. So when we sing, we prophesy. We speak forth the truth that with spiritual songs, with grace in our hearts, singing and making melody in our hearts. Then it goes on. I still ask the question, what specifically do we do with the truth? First, we speak it to one another. Second, we appreciate it. I heard testimonies saying, oh, this is so beautiful what's written here. If you find this beautiful, this is the truth. That's the first step. You find beautiful. It should go on. We do believe these truths. Even if certain things happen in your life, blocking everything, how about your faith? Are you still holding on? We do believe this truth. Even if you fail, right? You still believe this truth. Because it testifies the Word of God. It's the unchangeable truth of being crucified with Christ. Even if I have behaved wrongly, this is unchangeable. It's a fact. We do believe this truth. We do love it. Do you love this Word? Do you love it? If you truly love it, you will spend every free minute to read it. Do we really love it so much? Do we love this Word? Lord, stir up this love in us. We shouldn't be condemned. We should be stirred up and revived. That this love may be awake in us. We should also, thirdly, obey this Word, this truth. It's a verse in 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth and to unfeigned brotherly love, love one another from a pure heart fervently. Right? So it's the obedience to the truth. To the truth. You can love it, you can appreciate it, you can believe it. But then the situation comes, do you now obey the truth? That is what the Lord is seeking after. Obedience to the truth. In our many different life situations, the Bible shows clearly, one locality, one church. Everywhere this is written, that is the way the church is built. Do we obey this truth? Or do we see in the Bible, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? Faith and baptism go together. Do you obey this? Some hesitate. They believe, but haven't been baptized yet. But the Word says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So both belong together. So don't hesitate. You don't need a PhD degree in order to be baptized. No, that's just the first step. Many more will follow. This is the life of your faith. He who believes. We are obedient to the truth. This is crucial. Then we walk in it, in the truth. And this truth will have an effect in our lives then. That is precious here, that it's not the truth alone, but it says we hold the truth in love. The effect on of truth alone, I don't know what remains. The Bible says truth always inseparable, goes together with love. He who neglects truth and love will finally like what God hates. God is also hating something. He who's always only pointing out the truth like this and that, only the truth, this will not bring forth the building up. It will separate us. What binds us together is the love. So both go together, love and truth. One effect of truth is it gives us light. Where there is no truth, there is darkness. And how do you want to follow the Lord in darkness? You will just stumble here, you will get hurt there. You need light to see the way. If you try to find your way in darkness to somewhere else, this is bad. You will get lost. We need the light. There are three things, maybe more, about which we need to have and receive light. That is Jesus Christ, knowing Him, His person, and we also need light about the enemy. There is an enemy, it's not just a nice walk in the park. No, it's a battle. And third, we need light about ourselves, that the Lord will be able to shine into our hearts. Well, light about Jesus Christ is related to the love to Him. And the light of the sun shines, it's not a cold light, but it warms you. It's well-pleasing, isn't it? If you're able to experience the warmth of the sun. Well, if you have only warmth and it's dark around you, no. Both is implied in this. Light and warmth. That you see something. And this love towards Jesus, this is what shall fill our hearts. If you see Him, there will be a reaction in your heart. Simply start loving Him. We have a song, Lord, put me a seal on your heart. Jealousy is cruel as Sheol, and love is strong as death. Hey, what a comparison is that? You may wonder. Death, no person can escape. But this love is strong as death. What can that be? It is much stronger than anything else. You somehow cannot escape. One day it will catch you. There was a time I didn't want to know anything of the Lord anymore. But the Lord caught me again. His love called me back into His presence. There is a power surpassing our imagination by far. Lord Jesus, this love, whenever we celebrate the Lord's table, let us remember His love. Bread and wine are the signs of His love. He shed His blood for us. He wants us to turn our hearts in love to Him, that by His love, our love is stirred up inside. And if you read the Psalms, there are verses where there is such a turn to the Lord, and all of a sudden it says, I hate those who are godless. This goes together. Christians like to cut out these verses, ignore these verses, but it goes together. If you love the Lord, you will hate the enemy. You are rejecting him. You do not want to have anything to do with him, will you? Lord Jesus, it says here, we shouldn't be tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching. The Lord hates if someone is twisting the truth, right? The Lord wants us to speak the truth. That's why we need this watchfulness. It is not a blind love. Humans sometimes say love makes blind. To a certain extent, we sometimes cover up what saints made wrongly. Okay, this is okay, but parents do not love their children blindly. They immediately see what is wrong. If they would love them blindly, it wouldn't be a good love. You should see what is going wrong and you interfere. You should not have a blind love, but a love with discernment. Where you realize this is and that is unrighteous and this is untrue, and you reject that. Then it is a love shining into our hearts. It is a truth and a light shining into our heart. Truth is sometimes not very comfortable. Lies are more easy. You can turn it as you like it, but truth is the truth, whether you like it or not, whether it fits your concepts or doesn't. Right? Lord Jesus. Now, what happens if we see each other in the light of the Lord? Then things will be manifest that we may regret, we may dislike. And we realize, oh, that was not that good yet. And the natural man now starts to cover it up and excuse itself. It was his fault. Other person's fault. But that does not heal the problem, does it? Not solve the problem. If you don't go to the doctors, to the physician, I keep it for myself, then it will not get healed. Only if you confess and then the healing will start. There is a precious psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. There is light, something is exposed, something is uncovered. But right away, with the light, there is salvation. The Bible doesn't cover up the mistakes of the believers, no. All the errors Peter, for example, fell into, millions of people have read. I'm glad not everybody knows what mistakes I made. But we learn from it, don't we? You shouldn't be ashamed too much, maybe sometimes a little bit, but don't be too embarrassed, right? This is the way for your salvation. Confess your mistakes, even if others know. You shall be healed then. Amen. For this is the truth. So that's the effect of truth. And we learn by this. Today's society is suffering of several illnesses. For example, individualism, egoism, everybody. Even they educate the little children in this way. They play in a certain group, but now every child shall decide for itself what it wants to play. There is no mutuality. You play together and fit in. In the church, you will not have a building up by that way. You say, I go to the meeting when I want. Today, I don't. Maybe tomorrow. Then I may be fond of it. But nobody else will. The room will be empty. This is a pity, right? Will you have building that way, building up? No, there is no building up that way. We need the going together. Go to one another. And the second is to be fully subjective, only considering yourself. This is closely related to individualism. Yes, amen. To be focusing on oneself closes your being for God, right? If you only see yourself, how do I feel? Does it good to me or not? Then God will not be able to speak to you anymore. You are completely locked up. You're only twisting around yourself. Of course, we have to have our food, our clothing in an appropriate manner. But there needs to be salvation from individualism, from subjectivity, from this looseness, even if society is like this today. And everybody tries to live like that and to educate the children like that. We need salvation and be glad of it, that you can be saved from this. That is the grace of God. All these things go together with the love. Let me emphasize this again. It is nothing, no compulsion, no force, but what changes you is the love of God entering into your being. There is this wonderful verse, the love of God constrains us so. We easily react sensitive if someone wants to put pressure on you, right? Hey, you should read the Bible more now. And what else? Well, this doesn't help you in any way. Maybe you do it for a while, but then it doesn't help you. But what is able to urge you is the love of the Lord. It is constraining us. It's urging us. The love of Christ urges us. So be urged by this love. The Lord has a very quiet voice. Now seek fellowship. Seek fellowship. You can easily skip over it. But learn how to follow this voice.
Amen.
Amen.
Jetzt was geschieht?
What happens now? If we hold on to love, the truth in love, we will grow into Him, grow up into Him in all things, who is the head of Christ. Amen. Something will happen. If you hold on to truth that strongly, you will not remain the same. You will change. There is a growth. Not any growth, but a growth into Christ. Right? Not that just something may grow bigger somehow. No. We all shall grow into the same image as the Son of God. There is a precious verse in Romans 8:29. For, because those whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed to the image of His Son. This kind of growth we need. Growth into Christ, into this very image. The prerequisite for such a growth is that we see we are nothing. This morning we sang a song. Some saints share, the whole Christ is for me. And it goes on, and what I am shall be terminated. Praise the Lord. Both goes together, inseparable. If you hold on to yourself, then Christ may still be for you, but He cannot come into you. If this glass here is filled already, you will not be able to fill in something else. But the Lord wants to give Himself to you. That's why you have to be empty. Pour out everything to the Lord. What I am shall be terminated. If you see this, if you see the goal, you can say it joyfully, right? Maybe if you stick to something, you love something wrong, then the Lord will operate in you. What I am will find an end, that He can be formed within me, and I grow into Him. Yes. We love Him so much with our whole being. Lord Jesus. Amen.
And
our faith is crucial for this. He wants to do this on us. But many times we have our experience is different, right? We fail and are weak. We need faith. In this situation. And faith means not seeing, not with these eyes. It's a different seeing. But first of all, it is not seeing. I believe what I do not see. Once I received a postcard with a photo of a city on the mountain. But it was cloudy, so it was overclouded. If you have the scenery and the cloud is there, you don't see the city on the mountain. right? Sometimes you have this experience. You come to the Word and you don't feel anything. But we do have faith. Faith does need feeling, senses. Faith is not focused on your emotions, but on the truth, your experience, your sensations. Your sensing the presence of God may follow. There is the example of the three persons walking on the top of a wall. First person walking is a truth. This is marching on the wall. And the faith follows the truth, looking to the truth. But sometimes faith tries to look back to the experience. Then you will fall off the wall. Fall down off the wall. Right? We shall always focus our eyes on the truth. That is the letter God wrote to us. Firm as a rock, we will follow. We will not turn back for experience. We will experience this. We want it, right? It is not an objective truth alone you shall never experience. No. But the way is not turning back to experience, but the way is follow the truth. Look to the truth. Put your trust in the living Christ, who is the truth. Our Lord is the truth. You believe in man that always tells the truth. If you had someone lie one time, you would not trust anymore, would you? Or if someone is sloppy, negligently talking stupid things, and you find out it's wrong. Well, our Lord is not like that. Our Lord is the truth. You fully may trust Him. That's why we focus our eyes simply on Him. This growing into Him is growing into the head. The head is directing everything, right? We grow into Him as our head. Maybe I have to go on quicker. Should we take a look also at the second verse? Now, out from whom, Ephesians 4:16, out from whom all the body being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply and through the operation in the measure of each one part causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Amen. It speaks of here the joint of the supply.
Die sind dazwischen. Da ist ein Glied hier und das Glied ist dazwischen. Und da gibt es eine Darreichung. Da fließt was von einem zum anderen. Das ist Darreichung. Die sind nicht nur einfach nebeneinander, keiner hat was miteinander zu tun, sondern das Leben fließt von einem Glied zum anderen. Gelenk der Darreichung. Und jetzt ist das Wunderbare dabei.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dass alles,
sorry.
An Christus gewonnen haben,
everything I
das soll solch ein Glied der
Darreichung gained of Christ,
wenn ich den Herrn erfahren habe,
I shall pass on. If I experience the Lord, then there is a passing on. If I deny myself, it is for the supply of the body. If I defeated the enemy, it is for the body, not just for myself alone. Everything is for the body. Many of you know this verse in 2 Peter, where there is a long list. 2 Peter 1, I think. For this very reason, adding all diligence, supply bountifully in your faith virtue, and in virtue knowledge, and in knowledge self-control, and in self-control endurance, and endurance godliness, and in godliness brotherly love, and in brotherly love the love. It doesn't say develop or try to make it available. No, it says supply faith. So everything you gain of Christ is for the body. We need this perspective, making fruitful your Christian life. If you are for you alone, it is very limited. But if your going on is always for the body, then it will be so rich. We are joints of the supply and pass on life, nourishment. That is in the effectiveness of each part. Operation in the measure of each one part, no matter how much you have. If you only have one sentence in the meeting, it's good enough. Don't think it's too little. It's wonderful. If you come to the prayer meeting and you pray one prayer, the whole body will rejoice, and the angels in heaven will rejoice. Don't think it is too little. And better, it's still better, the testimonies are not too long. Right? I want to encourage you again. Keep short, please. I want to encourage you. Let many have a room to supply, a stream of life flowing through everybody. By listening, you receive, but by speaking, you receive much more, the most. And if it's just a short sentence, be encouraged. Stand up and testify the Lord in purity and simplicity. Amen. All this may be done out of Him. It says, out from Him. The origin, the source, always be the Lord. Not a brother commissioning you, or a kind of feeling of an obligation. No, the origin is the Lord Jesus. Out from Him we grow. And then everything is flowing out from Him. And both these things go together. The whole body grows. Amen. Then you have this wonderful goal that was mentioned this morning, being called the oneness of the faith. It says here it's the building up of itself in love, that the body be completely built up. The oneness shall be reached, shall be displayed before God, surpassing our understanding. I would like to read Philippians 2, 1 and 2 as to that. Is there now any encouragement in Christ? If any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tender-heartedness and compassions, does it exist with us? Hallelujah. We do have the comfort, the consolation of love and the encouragement in Christ and the tender-heartedness, even if it's only any of it. But then it goes on. That's a great goal. So make my joy full. The first thing is joy already, but this joy shall be made full. So think the same thing. Having the same love. Not we love only that one and the other one we don't. No. Be joined in soul. Be joined. Combined. It's hard to translate that word. I looked it up. It is sin psyche. It is the prefix sin. Sin. Synchronization. Sin. It is not disharmony, but sin harmony. It's symphony. It's, you understand? It's a symphonic orchestra. They all play together. It's together. It's they play nicely together. Beautiful. It's wonderful. If someone plays an instrument like this and the other one like that, it will not be a symphonic symphony, symphonic orchestra. Well, you understand? Our souls have to sound together properly. If I testimony like this and another testimony completely to the contrary, there will not be a symphony. No. Then you, maybe you go with this brother, even if you have a different, slightly different view. Maybe you're used to play the first violin in an orchestra. Maybe you play only the second today. Or only this little triangle, ding-dong. Well, we want to play a symphony together. All souls shall be related to each other. In Revelation, there is these 144,000. There is not 144,000 voices. It's just one voice. It will be believers we do not know yet even. It's not us knowing us that well, personally. No, it's rather the building in spirit, building up in spirit that we have this symphony. We are being built up. I do not know the saints from 100 years ago. Maybe I read some books of them, but maybe not even that. But then you will be together with them and have one voice. This surpasses our thinking, doesn't it? I'm speechless if I think of it. But the Lord works this time. And everybody has a share. Everybody, nobody should think it's nothing for me, it's so difficult for me. Well, everyone in its share. Everyone in of each one part. Everyone is important. We need every member. Every member is needed. And one thing I still want to encourage us with, we have this wonderful time of the conference now. This strengthens faith. This is like putting into flame the fire in your spirit is burning. Strong, burning, bright. Well, but then you go home. First week, wonderful still. Hallelujah. But then the second week, the less. Third week, even less. So what does it need, then, that you would fan into flame again? Don't wait till the next conference. But come to the Word. If you have only come rarely, seldomly before, seek fellowship. Seek His Word. You do not even have to leave your home. You can call the saints together once a week. We will have a little morning watch, Bible reading in the morning together. Once a week, maybe even more. That's where we meet. For example, online. Read some verses. Quarter of an hour, half an hour. That's what we are able to make. Isn't this a good idea? Think of it. Whether this is a way the Lord would like this, to keep it burning. You have to rekindle it. Seek the fellowship. Come to the Word. Seek prayer. The Lord is so rich. Praise the Lord. Closing here.